world. Amen. I had that on, and then
thank God, Brother Chris.
How about that right there? All right. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. Would you open your precious Bible tonight to the book of Jeremiah? Jeremiah. I have to say, my mind's got a lot of things going on in it. How many of y'all do that? Yeah. And so at least I don't feel so weird. And we got this trip coming up, and then just the way the thing worked, we've got this mission trip in May, and I want you to pray about that. Brother Ron and I, we spoke today about it, and of course, we're looking forward to it. And then just before church, I go downstairs. I don't know if this gets y'all all excited, but it sure gets me. I'm a little on the outs with the dog that I adore. I look out my back door, and he's done got a pair of my hunting boots, and he's shredded them all to pieces. So, I'm real happy about that. So that was the drama at our house about 30 minutes before the service. So, yes, I'm still trying to recover. And if I could have caught him, I don't know how much me and him are very fond of each other right now. But this too shall pass. I guess I have enough pair of hunting boots. Anyway, but I'm glad I'm saved.
Amen. Yes.
These children sure bless my heart.
Amen.
And you pray for us. We're probably sometime tomorrow going to be traveling. Pray for Laura. She's doing well. I was glad she got to come this morning. And she's doing really well. And I'm thankful for that as well. Life's a journey, isn't it? And you never know what's going to happen. But I know what's going to happen here after a while. We're all going to be victorious if we're saved. We're going to have a permanent home in heaven.
Amen.
I want to encourage our church, do your very best. Be on the lookout for always new people to try to invite to church. You know, many of you had the privilege of living here of a lifetime. And so you know a lot of the folks in the valley. And of course, I've been here 15 years. I've gotten to know a lot. But, you know, you never know who might come in the church. There might be some connection between you and them. And use all of those connections to let them feel comfortable coming and being here. And we had some visitors this morning, and that was a great blessing. And we just need to be patient because the Lord's working in people's hearts. I want to hurry things up. How many of y'all feel like that? I want people just to hurry up and get things. But I learned this. I didn't get a lot of things overnight. The Lord works on us, and so let's just continue to pray that God would work in folks' heart. I do believe that there is definitely a spiritual awareness around us, and God's working, and so I pray you'll continue to be sensitive to the Lord, and let's always be out handing out tracts, inviting people to church, and having an opportunity to testify. Jeremiah chapter 23, I'm not going to read all the verses that I read this morning, But want to just share, of course, the text verses in verse 29. I've spent two different Sundays dealing with the context of the passage. The Lord really, you know, giving a very strong, stern warning to the preachers and the prophets, the spiritual leaders, religious leaders, really. I shouldn't say spiritual leaders, the religious leaders. And then he touched his man and said, look, I want you to clear you off a spot, and I want you to say what I want you to say. So in verse 29, that's part of it. The Bible says, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? And so we started this message this morning on likening the word of God to his fire. So we've been preaching about the Bible metaphorically, and we've looked at all of them. We have one more to look at, and that's water. And we'll do that, Lord willing, next Sunday. And then that will conclude the series of messages on the metaphors from the Bible. But we looked this morning on fire consumes. If you think about fire, we know that fire consumes. It takes in everything that's combustible that it comes in contact with. And so what a beautiful picture of the power of the Word of God. It consumes. It consumes us. If we will obey and apply His Word of fire, it will obliterate and consume our doubts. It will consume our fears, it will consume our pride, It's definitely will consume what needs to be consumed in our lives. And then we talked about, of course, fire sparks fear in the hearts and minds and lives of people that have a farm or a ranch or whatever, a forest fire. And we talked about the backfire, and we talked about how the Lord Jesus Christ is our backfire. We can stand in the safety because the gospel and Jesus Christ is our backfire. Then we talked about, and that's really where I wanted to spend most of my time this morning, on fire cleanses. It purifies. And I love that, How Firm a Foundation is one of my favorite hymns. There's just such powerful truth in that, in all five verses. But that fourth verse is, when through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. And I love that next stanza. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. Fire, heat, it cleanses, it purifies. And so spiritual people that love the Lord, trying to lean on the Lord and get His mind, we understand this. We don't like this. I wish I could tell you there was another way that God uses, but we know that God uses the heat. He uses the fire in our lives. We know that fire has to be brought in to cleanse us, to purify us, and to burn out the dross. And so, what is it in our lives that we need to let the Word of God to burn out? I didn't share this morning, but you know, when I went off to Bible college, there were certain standard of rules at that college. Now, it amazes me that how people will balk at rules today. They balk at them. I mean, it's like, oh, I ain't going to do it. But you know, I'm going to be honest with you, and I was never a person of rules. I used to be that kind of person. My wife grew up in a Christian school, and I never understood Christian education because I was a very carnal Christian, and I used to make fun of people like that. Like, I can't. But buddy, I'll tell you right now, I understand the importance of it now. But here's the reason I bring this up. I run into people all the time, they want to balk at rules. They want to say, I can't right now. I'm not going to that place. That's too many rules. But you know what? When I went off to Crown College, there was some rules there that I never had thought about. But you know what? I knew that's where God wanted me to do. I never even balked at it. I just went. Didn't bother me a bit. Because I knew every rule there was just there to help me and strengthen me. There wasn't one rule there that was going to hurt me. I won. And I've learned this. Most people that get upset with rules and standards and regulations, they always want to argue and fuss and nitpick about it. But here's the thought. Will those rules really hurt your children? They're not going to hurt your children. They're going to strengthen your children. I bring all of that up because, look, when we let God's Word consume us, a lot of things that we think is a big deal, really not a big deal. It starts to consume our thoughts and our minds. And we understand we want to be refined. What is it? And I brought that up because I remember a guy, he was getting ready to go. He said, well, I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to that school. I'm like, well, why? Because of that right there. And I thought, my soul, you're going to let that keep you from doing something that you feel like God has called you to do? No, listen. Heat, fire, what? Refines us. Purifies us. When I think about using tools and utensils, certain things, I want you to think about it with me. Now, if I'm working on some type of construction outside, I don't care if that hammer's dirty or not. But if they're going to use a hammer inside, or of course they're not going to use a hammer, but if they're going to use some type of a something in the dentistry field and they're going to stick it in my mouth, do y'all think cleanliness matters? Well, I just want y'all to know something. We're in the greatest work known to man. And we ought to care whether we're a dirty hammer or a clean tool. It matters. Now, if we were dealing with things out here in the world and, you know, it didn't matter what our life was and you know, it didn't matter, we were just, you know, then it don't. But here's the thing. We ought to be Christians that desire God to purify us, keep us clean. And how does He do that? He does that with heat. So we know the heat of God's Word will purify us. So then we see fire consumes, fire cleanses, but think of this, fire converts. Fire converts. What do you mean? Well, I've noticed fire will convert a block of ice into water. It will melt things. It converts things. And by the way, isn't that a beautiful picture of the Word of God? The Word of God can melt the hardest of hearts. I've seen it. I've seen it. I've seen it Wednesday. I've seen it throughout my ministry of where, I tell you what, people say, man, I can't believe so-and-so got saved. Well, I can because the Word of God converts. You say, oh, Pastor, that man's too hard. Oh, listen to me. He's not too hard for fire. Listen, fire converts. The Word of God can melt the coldest of hearts. By the way, you say, how do you know that? He converted mine. I know I can share this with y'all. I know I've shared it with you. I never had one iota that I would ever preach, never thought I would preach, had no desire to preach. You say, what happened? Well, the Word of God done went and converted something. And I've seen it here in 15 years. The other day, someone walked in our church, and or actually, I let someone know in the valley that I'm very close to, and I said, so-and-so, what? And he started crying just thinking about a particular person coming to church. He thought, man, I never dreamed they'd be in church. What happens? Fire converts. There's power in fire. It converts. Fire will convert any material that will yield to it. And by the way, any heart that will yield to it, I'm going to tell you right now, God's Word will convert it too. Just like fire. By the way, sometimes that's all that's standing in the way between a strong Christian and a weak Christian. Here it is. You just won't yield. You know what I learned in Bible college? God doesn't use talent, although it's good to have. God doesn't really necessarily need talent. He doesn't really necessarily, you know, need, you know, the greatest of... You know what He needs? He just needs somebody willing. Do you know why I believe today we're at an all-time low of people in America being called into the ministry? Because I believe we're trying to train our children to do what they want instead of trying to train them what God wants. They're just not yielded. They're not taught to yield. By the way, the very thing that I talked about a minute ago about rules and regulations, we live in a day now where parents try to help their children break rules. So how in the world, if we're going to teach our children how to break rules, how in the world are we going to train them to yield their life to the Lord? Isn't that what the Christian life is? It's yielding. It's submitting our lives to Him. And by the way, when we submit to Him, guess what? That fire will burn. That fire burns in our hearts. Here's what amazes me. I grew up in a Christian home. I heard the Word of God as small as I could to remember. And I'm telling you right now, I sat there at 21 and thought, this is so unnecessary that I waited till 21. I knew all of this years ago. What was the difference? I wasn't ready to yield to it. Someone might say, oh, I tell you what, someone like Brother Sexton, Miss Sexton, Mr. and Mrs. Palmer, they're special kind of people, man. Who would be willing to go, or who, they must be really special to be able to go to another country and serve there. And I'm going to tell you, they are special, but the greatest thing that God used was their yieldness to Him. They just was willing to do it. By the way, the reason Kenya is so special to me, because I'm just going to share this with y'all, I never seen me being here. I had no desire to be here. I thought I would live and die in West Virginia. Man, when I got out of Bible college and I got a call from Lewisburg, West Virginia, I said, that's perfect. And when I got there, I'm like, man, I'll never leave here. I'm back. And I there was churches. I was telling Sarah and Mark earlier today, when I was there, I couldn't wait. I wanted to pastor so bad. God had worked in my heart. But I wanted it to be in West Virginia or close. And man, I was hungry. Man, I knew God was burning in my heart to do it. And so my wife and I, man, it was a church in Roanoke, Virginia. They had a 900-seat auditorium in Roanoke, Virginia. And they called me and they said, we want you to come. And man, I was so excited. We got down there. They rolled the red carpet out. And they were like, man, they took me into a room, all the deacons of the pulpit committee sat and talked to me. And man, while I was in there, they were all in there talking to my wife. They were laying out all this stuff and saying, we take care of our pastor. And I mean, they were laying out all these brochures of things about Roanoke provided and the good Christian schools there. And I'm in there listening to these guys and I see that 900 seat auditorium. I'm like, man, what God can do. I was on the radio live that morning. They had a bus ministry and they had that big old 900 seat auditorium with 200 people in it. And I thought, man, this is it. Man, we went home and driving home, I could just tell my wife, she wasn't as excited with me. She said, Mark, I just don't have peace about it. I was like, what do you mean you don't have peace about it? She's like, Mark, I just don't have peace about it. I'm going to be honest with you, there's no one in this world that I have more confidence than my wife. But I started going, you know what, she just don't want to leave West Virginia. So in the back of my mind, I'm sitting there going, she just don't want to leave West Virginia. I said, that's got to be the only thing. She's comfortable here. I mean, what a great opportunity. I said, so this went on for like a week. And man, these guys was calling me, saying, are you praying? I said, yeah, we're praying. And so, y'all won't believe this, but it was on a Sunday. Now, I know y'all don't ever do this, and I'm kind of maybe revealing more than I should. But me and my wife got in a little argument on Sunday over it. And I'm going to be honest, I started questioning. I was like, Laura, why don't you want to go? And so I finally blurted out. I said, honey, you just don't have peace. I said, because you're comfortable here. She's like, honey, that ain't it. She says, I don't have peace about it. Man, I was a little upset. And I was trying to be calm, but I was a little... I walked in the kitchen about that time. Y'all ready? The phone rang. The phone rang. I looked. It was a Roanoke, Virginia area code. Hello? The head of the pulpit committee said, Brother Mark, I said, yes. He said, we got some bad news. I said, no, you probably going to help me out today. He said, do you remember when you came in and we had a man that we interviewed, we actually took in and he came as a candidate and he preached, this has been like 7 months ago, said he got 100% vote in the church, but it was 2 weeks in, he got cold feet and said it wasn't God's will for him to come and he backed out. I said, yeah. He said, well, he just called us this morning. He said, God's been beating him up, said he missed the will of God, he needs to be there pastoring our church. He's still there today, by the way. And I went, you know what? I said, I've been a fool today. I said, this is why my wife couldn't get the green light. And guess what? I went off to Kenya, and right in the bend around that time, Brother Jimmy Horton gets in touch with me, and I'm just going to be honest with y'all. I had no desire to be here. Because you know what? I was in Lewisburg, West Virginia. I was going to be in them hills. I didn't have to leave. There was another church in Somersville, West Virginia, that called. I went over there. Man, I thought that would be it. And I'll never forget it. And they are wonderful people. There was one little thing that was said that morning that I knew that wasn't it. And there wasn't nothing wrong with it. And I knew what the guy meant by it, but I'm standing there in the back of the church getting ready to go in there and preach on that Sunday morning, and there was a guy that came in the church, and he grabbed my arm, he said, preacher, he said, I want you to let us have it this morning. Now, I know what he meant by that, but I said, you know what, I don't want to be the kind of pastor that lets them have it. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Now, I knew what he meant by that, but it was just like the Spirit of God says, no. So I go, so there's nothing happening, and I go to Kenya. Well, then and I'm just going to be honest, here's why I say all that. I was scared to come here. I was the one comfortable. I was willing to go to Roanoke. I was willing to go to Somersville. But Chattanooga's a stretch for me. You say, what work? Well, I'm going to be honest. Anybody that's willing to get on a plane for the first time, never been on a mission trip, fly 28 hours to go to a third world country and go to Kenya, and what God did in my heart. I said, man, if I can go to Kenya, I can certainly go to Chattanooga. And God worked in my heart on that mission trip like none other. And that's why I'm so excited. I want to go and I don't want to go. I don't want to leave my family. I don't want to leave y'all. But there is an excitement because I want to go back to the place where God really got me to a place of where I would let Him speak to me and be yielded. Because you know what? Some people have this idea. Well, I'll tell you what, just because the pastor's in the ministry, that does... you still got to stay yielded. Fire converts. The Word of God converts. Now, fire converts things to more fire. When a forest fire, it comes across those leaves or that tree, what does it convert that those leaves? To more fire. So here's my point. When fire burns, converts, I'm going to tell you right now, it spreads. Fire spreads. Fire takes impurities and makes them just like itself. The more you allow this book to burn in your life, the more you will be like this book and you'll be fire. What do you mean by that? I'm going to tell you, there are some people that I get around, I feel the holiness and the fire when I get around them. I can just tell. I get around them, and man, I can just tell there's a different kind of fire burning there, man. They reek of God's Word. They're smoking from God's wisdom. I mean, it's just radiating off of them. And man, when you're a person like that, that fire, and by the way, when I get around people like that, you know what it does? It does two things. Number one, it convicts me, but number two, it challenges me. I want to be like them. Fire spreads fire. When fire comes into contact with something, it makes more fire. And so again, the more you allow this book to burn in your life, the more you will be like this book. And this book is like fire. We need some fire. I was speaking to a young man in the ministry the other day, and he did. He said at the marriage retreat, he looked at me, he said, "Brother Mark," he said, "most of our independent Baptist churches are dead." Now why is that? It shouldn't be dead. Our churches shouldn't be smoking. We ought to be on fire. We ought to have members here and people that come in contact around here, they get caught. I mean, they get caught. They get caught on fire, and they're not trying to find things to get out of. They're trying to find things to get into. They're on fire. Fire creates what? More fire. God help us to be in this book so we can catch fire. Y'all with me? Fire. So fire is consuming. Fire cleanses. Hey, here's the other. Fire converts. Here's the other quickly. Fire needs to be controlled. Now you say, what do you mean, Pastor? One of the most dangerous things that I can think of is a fire that's out of control. When you can't control it. A forest fire does devastation. It absolutely destroys. If a fire is left unchecked, it will consume everything in its path. It can do some destructive things. By the way, we live in a day now where I hate to tell y'all this, but not everybody that preaches this book preaches it right. And if it's not in check, it can be an awful dangerous fire in the hearts of people. We need to be very careful how we use the fire. Fire can become destructive if not under control. What controls fire? Boy, I love the symbols of the Word of God. What controls fire, church? Water. And what is the symbol of the Holy Spirit of God in the Bible? Water. That's why it's dangerous for somebody to get in this book that ain't got the Spirit of God that can teach them and get out and start spreading wildfire. I'm going to tell y'all right now, I believe, of course, we all know that all false religions are led by people that don't know Jesus. They don't have the Holy Spirit inside of them. Therefore, they're still teaching this book as a man-made religion. I want you to know something. Fire needs to be controlled, and the fire needs to be controlled with the Holy Spirit of God. You ever heard someone say this? Well, I just tell you right now, they needed to hear it, and I told them. Well, you ought to be careful. Because that fire needs to be controlled. I'm telling you right now, if I'm speaking to someone that just got converted, they just got saved, and by the way, I will say this, it bothers, and again, I know people are different, but I don't like looking at someone face to face and saying, "You're going to split hell wide open." That's not very wise. I mean, that's not, but I'm going to be honest, our ministry, our churches were plagued with that for years. But are we going to win anybody like that? That's not very wise. That pirate, are they going to go to hell if they do not trust Jesus? Yes. But there's certainly a better way to quote God's Word and to teach God's Word than to just to really make someone scared of something. Now, I will tell you this. There was one time in my life that we were soul winning at the fair. And we were soul winning at the fair. And I guess this is what I'm saying. Have I always used wisdom by working with fire? I've always desired to. But I'm human. I have made some mistakes, obviously. But there was a young man there, and he was a very arrogant teenager. And he had several girls around him. Well, he come up to our booth, and the booth was the three doors. It said, see three things God cannot do. God cannot lie. God cannot change. God cannot let anyone into heaven without being born again. Well, of course, there's a little bit of a spin on that. People come over just to see it. Because like, there ain't nothing that God can't do. So they think we're some anti-God, you know, placer, but really what it is trying to get people to come over. So they come over, and this young man, cocky, had all these girls with him, and he was sitting there, and he's like, that's foolish. He said, let me tell you men something. He said, I'm going to go to hell, and he said, I'm going to have a party down there. And I said, young man, I said, there's no parties in hell. And he said, you can't really sit there and tell me. And I said something to him that day that I normally would never have said. But I said something and along those manner, I'm going to say, because he said, I'm going to be reincarnated. I said, listen, I said, if your sins are not forgiven, you're going to split hell wide open. Now, I normally don't do that, but at that particular moment, he was very good. And buddy, he stopped. He went, what did you say? I said, buddy, I said, there is no reincarnation. I said, the Bible teaches that you're either going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. And I said, if you die in your sins, not only you, I said, if I die in my sins, I'd split hell wide open. But what I'm saying is we have to be wise in controlling the fire in the way we give God's Word. I said this the other night. Sunday morning normally is milk. Do y'all understand that? Sunday morning is normally milk because you know why? We have people that's in this church that obviously, and in most churches in America, they'll come on Sunday morning and they don't come much other times. And so, you know, they might not understand everything. So I want the very reference to prayer that I mentioned a minute ago for us to have patience, because if I'm not careful, I'll unload a whole truck on somebody that can't handle it. So we have to be careful. We got to be careful how we use this fire. God's Word is like a fire. And so you say, how do you do that? You got to yield to the Spirit, and you got to be sensitive to the Spirit of God that leads us on how to speak and to talk to people. We've got to have the discerning of the Spirit. Now, I've not always had it, but I desire it. And I'm going to say this. I have a great desire that our church understands this. I know there's a balance between preaching too hard or preaching too soft. No, if you just preach the Bible with the right spirit, be led of the Holy Spirit of God, it's being preached just the way Jesus wants it. If you'll read the Bible, and that's another thing that amazes me. I've grown up in certain things. I've heard certain people in our circles, and they think, I tell you right now, you got to get up there and act like a wild man. Well, I never seen Jesus do that. I didn't see Jesus call people out in the service and make fun of them or reprimand them in the middle of the service. But I'll tell you what, I've seen Him do that to Pharisees. But to the lost man, He was very wise. Look how He dealt with the woman at the well. So very tender. There are some preacher, I'd have been scared to death for that preacher to went and talk to her. Y'all know what I'm talking about? See, I don't want our church to be that way. I'd rather us be kind and compassionate. Yes, we know ultimately that we desire for them to be saved, but let's let God use the Holy Spirit of our life to discern how, but it should always be with love and care. So I pray that God will help us to use this fire to edify and to build up people's faith, not tear it down. God help us. And I'm telling you, that is a desire of mine personally, and I've always desired that for our ministries. And then the last Psalm, I want you to notice, fire needs to be controlled. Fire converts, fire consumes, fire cleanses. But the last one tonight, fire is comforting. I remember when I was a boy, I've been reminiscing a lot lately. Now, in our little town, when we get a real big snow on, my uncle was the mayor of town, and he would block off Fayette Street. You remember that? That's 16th, 17th Avenue. From 16th Avenue, which was the avenue I lived on, and 17th Avenue, there was a little incline there on the main avenue, the main road. So the mayor would shut down that area so all of the people in the West End could go sleigh riding. And even as a little boy, I can remember, man, oh, we get to go sleigh riding. It was a big thing. Everybody in the West End would go up on top of 16th Avenue, man. It was like this, and we'd go down the... And down at the bottom, they'd always have them great big old tire fires. I mean, them big old fires. And, man, we'd be up there with our mittens on and our toboggans on, and, man, we'd be sledding down that. And, you know, about 30, 40, 50 minutes of that sleigh riding, and you getting wet, getting cold. There ain't nothing like getting cold like in the snow, right? But boy, there wasn't nothing more comforting, boy, when you get cold, you get over and you get them mitts over near that big old tire fire. I'm going to tell you always, whoo, I could stay here all night. I'd go like this, get my back up against it, you know, until it got too hot and then you'd have to move. Y'all know what I'm talking about? How many of y'all have a fireplace on a good old cold night? You've been out in the world, you've been out working, you're cold, you come home, and you crank up that fire, boy, and you get up around it and say, woo, boy, there ain't nothing almost as close to heaven as after you've been out in a cold day getting to rub up against and warm up against the fire. Y'all with me? Y'all know where I'm going? Boy, there's nothing better. When us Christians have been out in the world all day, we've been out there seeing sin all day, we've been seeing the coldness of people's hearts, and we've been dealing with the cursing of the ungodly, and man, we've been seeing all this mess. You turn your television on, you see all the mess, you see that you think we're the problem, you get out in the world and you see, Lord, how in the world did our country get this bad? We get out in this old cold, tough world, but boy, there's nothing like it. Boy, at night or in the evening, you get wrapped up around the fire, and next thing you know, you start getting the perspective of the warmth of the Word of God, and the next thing you know, you're just comforted and warmed. I tell you, there's nothing better after you've been out in the world, on an old, cold world like we live in, boy, and get up against the Word of God and just get warm. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Thank God when we've been out in this world and the cold winds of sin have blasted up against our bodies. The cold rains of hatred and bitterness and malice and resentment have beaten against our faces. I'm glad we can crawl up next to the fire of God's Word and it comforts us. It's not my Word like as a fire. Yes, fire consumes. Fire cleanses. Hey, fire converts. Needs to be controlled. But I'm also glad it sure does comfort, doesn't it? There's been nights I've not been able to go to sleep. There's been days I've been so worked up. I'm just going to be honest with y'all. I texted my wife just a few minutes before church. I said, I'm just now starting to settle down. She said, Pastor, did you really get jacked up by looking at your dog tear up your walk? Yes. Because here's the thing. We was going to let that wonderful dog stay downstairs this week while we were gone and let him go in and out the door, but he just answered that question. He's going to be in the cage. And the only thing he's going to get to do is go outside. But he has a whole yard. You said, Pastor, did you really get jacked up? Yes, I did. I had all kinds of thoughts in my mind. But then I got up here, and about that time these kids started singing them songs. Who's Domino? What boot that was $100? And of course, bigger things than that. I've got hundreds of things on my mind spiritually about people, situations in the church, the community. I understand, you understand, I don't know if you understand this quite, maybe you do, but we're in a battle here and it's a spiritual one. and someone that's dealing with it every day, they realize that there's a lot of things that people just think's okay and they're good things. No, it's really Satan trying to use any means he can to get them away from what the fire does. Can I just read something real quick to you? In 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, I read this yesterday at the prayer breakfast. It's been on my heart. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly. Now this is the Apostle Paul speaking here under the inspiration. In other words, he said, you're going to think I'm stupid. He said, y'all that I'm writing this to is going to think I'm silly. And a lot of people are not going to understand it. That's what Paul said. And indeed, bear with me. That's what he said. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, and it's a real fear. These are the words that got me. Lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You know what that verse is telling me? He doesn't care what he gets you with, whether it's good or great, if he keeps you from the best. He doesn't care. See, we live in this world where we think, oh, well, that's not too bad. Oh, my family's been doing this all day. Well, if that by any means have got you away from what Jesus wants, it's bad. It's dangerous. And I've just been in it too long, and I see when people start trending that way, I fear where they land. And there's a real fear. It's heavy. But you know what? There's some evenings I'm burdened with all of that. Many evenings. Can't go to sleep. But I'll tell you right now, I can get a verse in my mind or I can start quoting a song of God's Word. And you know what it does, Brother Sexton? It starts to comfort me. And I start just saying, Lord, you're going to have to take that because it's too big for me. Lord, I can't change that, but you can. And boy, I just start trusting the promises of God. Next thing you know, y'all ready? You say to you, louder. How do you know? My wife recorded me. I've heard it. And I guarantee you, baby, you better never let anybody else hear it. So I'm not just preaching. I'm practicing what I'm preaching there. And if you want proof, my wife has it. When I finally get peace about that thing and I let this fire of God's Word warm my heart, I get sweet rest. Why? Because it comforts. Amen? Aren't you glad we have the comfort of the fire too? Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to preach a message very soon out of that chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. How many of you glad that there was a day in your life that you heard the fire of God and you submitted to it, and it converted your old hard heart into salvation? Isn't that a great day? Can I get some amens? Can I get this as we close tonight? Can we just start popping out years? When did the fire convert your heart? Can I just hear some years? We don't even have to give dates, just give years. Can I hear some? 1970, praise God the fire hit. Anybody else? 71. 09. 77. 62. 66. 18. 2018. Somebody else? 89, that's a good year. 2012, good year. 62, 47. Woo! Fire's still burning, amen? And guess what? We're going to still see some be able to say this year. And we've already seen it. We're going to see more. Let's keep putting the fire out, amen? I mean, putting it out. We don't want to put it out. We're going to keep spreading it. Amen. Head bowed, eyes closed. How many of you thank God today that you've been saved by the fire of God's Word? Let's be thankful. Now, if there's someone here tonight, you say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I don't know for sure. Tonight's your night. I'd let it be tonight. How many of us will say, Pastor, I've been convicted. I want to spread God's Word. I want to catch fire. I want to spread more of it. Let God help you. They're going to play something on the piano. You let the Lord have His way. Make your pew an altar right where you stand. Let's do business with the Lord. If He loves you enough to speak to us, let's say yes to Him. Say, Pastor, I just can't get any rest. Well, just get wrapped up around in a warm fire. Get you a verse and claim it. Get you some kindling. Might be Psalm 23. That's a good one. Get started there, and then you might need to put some bigger wood on it. Psalm 73, Psalm 27. Stay comforted. Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight. We want to thank You for Your Word. It is as fire, and we know it consumes. We know it cleanses. We know that it converts. Lord, I am so thankful that it does comfort. Thank You for comforting our hearts. Thank You. We know that old song, that little song, every promise in the book is mine. And Lord, I pray it will warm our hearts. Again, thank You for loving us. Thank You for working. And we ask everything in Your name. Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. Have a great, great evening. And Brother Larry Sexton will be preaching Wednesday night, so you don't want to miss. And you pray for us as we travel. God bless you.